Welcome to LOA Today. Walt Thiessen and life coach David Bartke here.
It is a recording for Thursday, October 16th, 2017, but we're doing something unusual this week. We are doing an experiment with Blog Talk Radio to see if we can also include live phone calls. And we're doing this on Sunday.
Yay.
Yeah, yay indeed. We're doing this on Sunday, November 12th, 2017. And by the way, for the future, we're going to continue to try to record at this time. So for the first half hour of the show, we will be able to include callers on the show for the first half hour. There is a phone number for you to call in. You can call in at 516-387-1258. And David, this is like an exciting new step in our overall journey here with the LOA Today podcast.
I know, it's exciting. A new era has emerged.
A new era has indeed emerged. It's a very cool thing. So,
yeah.
Now, we are going to be talking about Chapter 13 of Ask and It Is Given by Abraham Hicks, which is a very appropriate one for this week because it's all about how you control what you're attracting into your life. And today, David, we need a lot of control.
Yes, especially about what's coming in.
Especially about what's coming in. That's right, yes. We actually have our first caller, which is really cool. We're off to a good start here. So let's bring our first caller in. And hi, thank you for joining us today. Who's calling?
Hi, this is Janet. I'm calling from Los Angeles.
Hi, Janet.
Thank you, Janet,
for coming in. That's great that you're here.
Sure.
Now, are you
a regular
listener or an occasional listener? I'm curious to know.
Kind of an occasional listener when I do have the time.
It's always
something good to learn. Say, I have a little bit of a question here for you guys.
Oh, sure.
Help,
yeah.
I need.
Yeah, go right ahead.
Okay. So I am moving to Northern California in a few weeks from Los Angeles, and I'm having a little bit of trouble envisioning, like, getting the things I want in a house because of budget restrictions. So my head's telling me I might have to settle, but I don't want to settle. So I'm a little bit stuck on how to make that all manifest.
Well, actually, I have a very good advice for you with this because I recently went through a house purchase, and what I would recommend, especially from a law of attraction point of view, is make a list, regardless of price, make a list of all the aspects you want this house to have. Like, so right off the top of your head, like, what are some of the things you'd like this house to have?
Well, crazy as it sounds, I mean, I would love, like, a fireplace in every room. And, you know, I want a good view from
nice.
The back and from the front of the house and four bedrooms.
Now, when you say a good view, what is, for you, what would that be? Is it, like, a wooded view or what would that be?
Yes, it would be, because we're moving to a wooded area, I mean, beautiful homes. But, you know, I would like treetops and part of it's on a golf course. Just something really pretty when you go out the door, you know, you want to see something pretty.
And what about, is there a particular style home you like?
No, I'm pretty open on that. It's more of a feeling, you know, I think, when I get into the house.
And what is that feeling? That's good to realize. Yeah, so is it, what kind of feeling do you want when you walk in?
I just want it to be very homey. I want it to be very comfortable. I want to be able to see my future there and, you know, decorate how I like. It's all those sorts of things that everybody kind of wants.
Yes.
You want it to be also the stuff that really psychs you, because it's the stronger emotions
that
have the more attractive power. So is that one of the things that really excites you?
Yes, actually, if I give it some time and I think about it, I'm totally psyched and I can imagine all these great things. And then it pops into my head, well, that's great, Janet, except, you know, you only have this amount of money to spend. So then it brings me back down and it's like this back and forth.
Well, don't go there.
Well, but I also have a very interesting thing about money when it comes to houses because, of course, you know, we had a budget, too, when we were trying to find this house. And I just kind of thought to myself, well, forgetting budget, what would I want in my dream house? So, of course, I made my list, and I focused on all that. And then when we started looking at houses, I purposely did look at houses that were above my price range because you just never know what you can get. You have to just be open to the possibility because, you know, you never know who's desperate to sell, and sometimes people overprice their home, so you can get it for $50,000 less than they're asking. So I would definitely say and recommend stay open to looking at homes that are above your price range.
Right. You don't have to make
okay,
it something that...
So obviously I'm not going to...
No, go ahead.
I was going to say I wouldn't jump, you know, double the price, but you're saying limit it.
Right. That's what I was going to say.
Like
you don't want to
like
push it so that...
40 to 60,000.
Yeah, you don't want to push it so that you don't believe it. You have to be able to believe it, and it has to feel good. If you put it up to a number that you don't believe, that won't work.
I think that's kind of a little of the problem. Right. Well, right. So I guess I could go highest budget and then just off the charts of what I want and let it come to me and kind of.
Yeah.
And sometimes in the house that's 40,000-50,000 more than you think you can afford, you might find some more features that excite you, and you never know with, you know, negotiation, it might come down to where you can afford it. And you'll be like, oh, wow, I'm so glad I looked at that, because if I had let that price stop me from looking at it, I would never have been able to get it.
Okay, so I have to kind of take the price out of the equation and just focus 100% on what I want and the feeling
on what
of
you
what
want.
I want. Like Walt said.
You're getting psyched about it, it almost doesn't matter what the price is. As long as you don't focus on the price and you focus on the psych part. I mean, I don't know how long you've tried to work with the law of attraction, but have you been able to attract stuff in the past deliberately?
Yes, I think so. I've recognized it and I've acknowledged it. So
you probably know that most of the time the way it arrives is not what you expected.
That's true. Yes, that's
right?
Totally true.
It arrived in ways that you perhaps didn't even think were possible. I've noticed
too.
A lot.
And sometimes I don't even notice it. Like I step back, and then a few days later you look and you go, wait a minute, look at all these things that happened. So that's cool. But I just had a block with this particular thing because it's so big to me.
Well, the first thing is decide that you don't have a block. Instead, decide that you have an opportunity to experience another one of these crazy synchronistic things.
Yeah,
you know,
that's
where it doesn't come in the way you expect it, you know,
because
you never know what's going to happen. You never, ever know what's going to happen. You know what you hope is going to happen, but how is it going to come? Who knows? It could come up in craziest ways. I mean, I've told David and I told Joel back when Joel was my co-host the story a number of times about how when my wife and I arrived in Connecticut, when we moved from Virginia, we had no car and we had no money for a car. We ended up driving two brand new cars out of the showroom with no money and no credit.
That was just the craziest
on a day of a snowstorm too. It was just the craziest set of circumstances you could possibly imagine, but it worked.
Okay, so I just have to stay in that frame of mind.
Yeah.
Something crazy fun's going to happen.
And get excited about.
What are some of the features that you don't think you can get? Like, what are some of those things that you're like, oh, if in the bigger home, in the more expensive house, I could get X, but I can't get it in what I I can afford.
I guess I'm not imagining that every single room in the house is going to have a fireplace. Okay, but I would like that. One in the bathroom, one in the laundry room.
Oh, doggone, I gotta go stoke the fire in the laundry room again.
Exactly. I want to stoke the fire in the laundry room. I know.
So are there any other features that like you don't think you could have, or?
You know, it's funny because I'm not even sure of some of the things I do want. Sometimes it's like when I'm looking at the houses online, like, oh, that's nice. Oh, that's nice.
Well, make a list of those.
You know, like also, I'm sorry, I was going to say also like when the kitchen is already remodeled, you know, that's kind of fun. But part of me is like, oh, yeah, but you might have to do that yourself. But I just want it to all be positive.
Well, that's why I'm suggesting really take the time to make a list, money without any money concern, about what you really would want. If you wanted an updated kitchen, put that on the list. Updated kitchen. If you want a view of if there's a lake or woods or whatever, put that down. If you want a fireplace in most of the rooms, put that. Like just get this list together so you'll have it in front of you, and it'll really give you what to focus on.
Okay, I'm gonna have to do that because if I just sit here quickly off the top of my head past the fireplace and the nice view, I'm not coming up with everything.
Well, actually, it's a good idea to do it the way.
Very helpful.
Yeah, it's a good way. Good idea to do it the way Dave's suggesting, and actually, you know, going through all the listings and making a note about which listing had each one, because it keeps you in that zone longer. You're just physically taking more time to do it, so it keeps you in the zone longer. It's actually better to do it that way.
That's true, and I feel actually my vibration is high when I'm looking at some fun stuff. That
yeah, it's fun.
Yes.
So
yes.
I can get in that. Right, yes. I do feel that. It's just, you know, that little voice in the back of the head kind of jumps
in. The hardest part is believing. It's believing that feeling. Because we have been taught that feeling is fleeting. Say that one three times fast. We have been taught that good feeling is fleeting and that it won't last. And that's the hardest part is believing that it will last the longer you stay with it. And you know that's true.
I know that, but it's the funniest thing that it comes and it goes. So it just
that's what we've been trained. We've been taught. We live in a really negative society, in case you hadn't noticed. I mean, we're just taught in every single possible way. You know, everything, happiness is fleeting. You know, life is a grind and all this other stuff. And you hear that for years and years. Of course you're going to believe that part of the time. I mean, come on. It's just part of growing up here.
Yeah.
But that doesn't mean that you can't
Absolutely.
Climb out of it. It just means, you know, you're kind of in that little tennis match, you know, and which side of the court are you going to decide to focus on? You don't have to watch both players. You can just watch the one.
No, and I would feel better that way. If nothing else, I would just feel better. So that would be great.
Yeah.
You know, thinking.
Well, that's the way I look at it.
With law of attraction, like, we know that anything's possible. It really is.
Anything is possible.
You just kind of stay out of your way.
And it's
like
more
I
fun.
I kind of know that, but like you say, go back. It's more fun, yeah.
Well, that's just it. We're practicing having fun. I was doing a little research today. I was looking up the origins of the word Pollyanna, because I didn't really know what the origins were. Do either of you know what the origins of the word are?
I don't remember. I did look it up once, but I forget.
It's actually a novel. It was a novel that was published in 1913 about a little girl named Pollyanna who had a game that she liked to have everybody play. I can't think what she called the game. It was like the good game or the fun game or something like that. But the game was to always find a silver lining in everything. And that's where this whole concept of a Pollyanna comes from, which most people today dismiss
as unrealistic.
Oh, my God, unrealistic.
Who were her parents?
Yeah, right. Yeah.
Right, but who were her parents?
Her parents unfortunately died, but her parents were happy people.
Obviously, yeah.
She ended up moving in with her aunt, who was a very unhappy person, and over the course of the story, she helps her become happy too, of course, you know. But that's what a Pollyanna is. A Pollyanna is somebody who's always looking at the silver lining. And we always use the word derogatorily in our society, but now that I know what it is, I'm saying, well, that's not right. This is actually a good thing, being a Pollyanna.
Well, that I understand. I know that several years ago, I was just kind of interested with, you know, my husband and what was going on and politics and this and that. And then I just said, you know, every time I watch this stuff, it makes me so unhappy. So I gave it up.
Like, good
I don't
for
know
you.
What
Yay!
I'm so much happier. Not knowing, and I see, like, people, they're all depressed, and they're saying, oh, did you see what happened with this or that? And I'm I didn't even hear about it. It didn't really upset me at all. So.
No, I think you're right doing that.
That is a little Pollyanna, I guess.
It may be Pollyanna, but that's a good thing. Being Pollyanna, that's what we're discovering. That's what I discovered today. Being Pollyanna is a good thing.
Yes.
I can see that.
We should embrace that.
And just keep in mind with real estate, especially, because I have several of my own experiences with that, so much is more possible than sometimes we think.
Oh, yeah.
Well, it's good to hear because, you know, you want to hear that that's happened to people. Because I hear, money pit, but I don't want to think that direction. I want the direction of, wow, I wasn't expecting this and how fantastic.
And we don't have to know how. We don't have to know how it's going to happen or when or from what. That's the good part.
In fact,
like, our job is just to focus on what we want.
When I find that fireplace in my bathroom.
See, now that's what makes you different from my wife.
You're going to be a very happy woman.
My wife just wants the heated bathroom seat, so the toilet seat. She doesn't want the whole fireplace in the bathroom. You've got a whole step beyond that.
I want the heated floors, and I want the heated towel rack, and, you know.
Yes. Yes.
Apparently, yeah. I have some kind of cold problem. I don't know.
Which is weird because you're moving to Northern California, but that's okay.
Well, come on. I'm in the valley at the moment down. I don't know if you know where Encino is.
Yeah.
But it's like 110. You know?
Yeah.
Very hot.
Yeah.
And I figure I'm going somewhere very cold.
Anywhere that you're going that is north is going to be cold compared to that. Doesn't matter how far north it is.
So while I'm doing my laundry and I have the fireplace and the deer are walking past the golf course, this is my fantasy land.
Now, another important thing I want to request that you put on your list that you make is also put in what kind of neighbors you want. Like, so you have all. I also want to have like really nice neighbors, and you want the neighborhood to have a good reputation and be safe. You know, throw in all those kind of things as well.
Yeah, that's actually really true. I do worry about that one too.
Well, don't worry
about
the
neighbor
it.
Thing.
The worrying is not good. Get the
you're
worry
right,
off
you're
the
right.
plate. But yeah, do that.
Okay,
and in fact,
forget the worry.
Use all of your senses. We tend to use our visual senses when we visualize. That's where visualizing comes from. But you can auditorize too. You can tactilize. You can imagine what your other senses are going to experience in the house, and outside the house.
That would be good.
One of my favorite.
Yeah.
Next door will not be screaming children.
Okay. That's good. That's good. One of my wife's favorites is smoke. She loves smelling wood smoke.
Oh,
I love it. I love that.
Yeah, so there's a good one to include if you like wood smoke.
That's true. I didn't think of like what I might smell when I'm
especially
out there.
Especially if you have a fireplace.
Trees and pine trees and beautiful.
I mean, if you're going to have a fireplace, you're going to have wood smoke. That's all there is to it. One goes with the other.
What about, do you care, like, if you have a private backyard? Because, you know, sometimes you can see your neighbor's house behind you, and sometimes you can't. That's important to think about, too.
That's true. I would like to have some private space, obviously. I don't mind neighbors.
Yes.
You know, I don't like
right.
hate the neighbors, but I want the deer and the bunny and all that happy Pollyanna stuff, right?
Yes.
I want Snow White happening in my backyard. So far we know you want
an updated kitchen, you want it to have some kind of views, you want a lot of fireplaces, you want nice neighbors, you want a backyard where at least there's some privacy from neighbors.
Mm-hmm. I want the little bird to land on my shoulder and whistle in my ear, you know.
You want little critters visiting the backyard that you can see.
Yes.
As long as they stay outside the house.
Yeah. Oh, by the way, no spiders, which is, see, that's another one. You go, wait a minute, how are you going to have all this and no spiders? And I'm, you know, they need to stay outside. No spiders in the house.
You've raised an interesting point, though. The point is that we all have a tendency to do on the one hand, on the other hand, which is what you're doing there. The stuff that you're worrying about is the other, on the other hand stuff. And the skill that we're all trying to develop when we're learning how to apply the law of attraction is the skill of not going to the other hand. You see what I mean?
Okay.
Just staying focused on what you want.
Right.
Yeah.
So the moment you even feel yourself going toward on the other hand, say, oops, there's that other hand. That's the one I'm sitting on. I forgot about that. And just don't even
think about the spiders.
Yeah. And the way to not think about spiders is to go back.
And the bunny will
focus on that stuff instead. Anytime that you're worried about money or anything, the moment that you notice that you're worrying, go back to one of the good things on the list and focus on that instead and get real excited. Because right now you feel good about this house. I mean, I can hear it in your voice. You're excited
and
all that.
I feel good.
This is the feeling that you're trying to get back to every time. So whenever that worry thing happens, stop, say, oh, there's that worry thing. Where's my list? What's at the top of my list? Oh, it's the bunny rabbits, you know, or the fireplace or whatever it is. And go back to the feeling. And that way it doesn't matter if you touched on the worry at that point. If you just touched on it and you flicked back, the worry almost didn't even happen. You
so
see?
Carry this list around with me apparently and post it everywhere.
Yeah, just
see
keep
is
the things on that list. And your excitement about this house as your more dominant thoughts and dominant vibration about it all.
Right.
Well, even talking to you guys, you know, you can feel the vibration just yay. It's like I'm just already moved and I'm already done fun. Just talking about it, you know.
Yeah.
And I know that when you stay there,
when you focus on what you want.
When you stay there, we're going to get another call in another week, 3 weeks, 5 weeks, 2 months, whatever. And you're going to say, you're never going to believe what happened. That's the way the call is going to start.
I would love that. When I tell you that I have a fireplace in my bathroom, anybody listening is going to be like, okay.
I mean, I just have to tell you this story just to give you some excitement about a house that's over your price range. So one of my many stories about that is I was with my partner. We were driving by a house. It was an open house. And we walked in the house, and we were like, oh, my God, this house is so nice. And then we asked the realtor how much it was, and it was $100,000 more than our budget was. Yeah. But we were like, well, let's, you know, to ourselves, like, oh, we'll just take the tour anyway, whatever, whatever. So we went through the house, and we were like, this is it. We just love everything about it. So the realtor, we told that to the realtor, but we said, but it's kind of way above our price range. You know, here's our number in the very unlikely chance that whatever happens, here's our number. So a few weeks went by, and we got a call from the realtor, and they're like, well, there haven't been any offers on the house yet. I know you said it was above your budget, but what could you offer? And we're like, what could we offer? Like, well, and we told the price, you know, which was $100,000 less than the asking price. And she said, well, I'm going to present it to the seller. And we're like, you are? Because it was just so far below. And we ended up buying that house. Now, did we know behind the scenes that there was a divorce going on and all kinds of issues and they had no money? And because there were no offers on the house, because it was overpriced, no one else even put an offer in, they were in a desperate situation. And it ended up working out, and we bought the house, and we were like, wow, like, how did that happen?
Well, I feel bad for them to be in a desperate situation, but yeah, so get that worked out.
No, but I'm saying, like, yeah, so that's what I'm saying. Like, just be open. If there's a house that looks really nice to you, go look at it. You just never know. You never know.
And by the way, we don't have to feel bad about them. Like, the people who had to sell the house at the lower price, there's no reason to feel bad about them because they actually got a good result out of it. The good result was they needed to sell that house in order to divide up the property between the husband and wife. Because they were getting a divorce.
Oh, yeah. We found out it would have been much worse for them if they didn't sell it. Because it would have been a whole foreclosure thing. It would have been really bad. So that's what I'm saying. Like, don't let a price of a home that's even $100,000 more than you think you can afford deter you from checking it out. Because you just never know. You just never know.
That's so wild. And it feels so fun to think about that even. Like, I would never have thought, oh, I'm going to go look at a house for $100,000 more. But I think I am, because why not? You're right. How do I know what their situation is?
It shows
how important Pollyanna is, too. Because the Pollyanna answer to the seller is not to feel sorry for them, but to feel good for them. That's a really important mind shift to take place.
Yeah,
Because the pivoting in that way gets you off of worry.
Too.
You know what I mean?
That's true. Because I would think, oh, I didn't want to insult them or whatever. And then that would go down the bad path.
Yeah. But no, now I can tell you're going to be excited. Like, the next time you go online to look at homes in that area, you're going to put in, I think, a little bit higher number than you thought.
I think I will do that for sure and not worry about how it happens.
That's right.
I don't want it to happen.
That's right.
Yeah,
that's
okay.
Mike Dooley calls them the horrible house, because you definitely do not want to focus on the house. The house are how you worry. The house are how you get
seconds.
Everything really beat up. And I guess we have 90 seconds left on our Blog Talk Radio side, so I'm not sure what's going to happen at the end of this. But it's been great,
well,
that's
Janet,
for sure.
Thank you so much for calling in.
Thank you guys so much. I am so, like, I'm sitting at the computer and I want to totally go online and look at all the houses that are more expensive.
As Walt said, please call in and let us know whenever this happens. It'll be interesting to find out.
And we want you to call in.
I absolutely will. I will let you know.
60 seconds.
We want you to call in and say, you'll never believe what happened. I want you to use those words.
I will love to do that.
Janet, thank you so much for calling in. This has been a great introduction to our new addition to the program. You've been a wonderful guest. Thank you.
Yay, thank you so much.
Thank you guys so much.
All right.
Thank you.
All right,
enjoy
you take
listening.
Care.
Have a good day.
Yeah, you too.
Have a great day.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
David, we couldn't have a better introduction than that.
That was great.
We just couldn't. We okay. haven't done our wins yet. What wins? Well, this is our big win for the week, right?
Yeah, it was a great win to get our first call-in caller, and it was a great topic.
And on the first week that we're doing this, this is really cool.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, and the wonderful thing for anyone listening is the things that we talked about with Janet, you know, you can do for anything you want to attract, whether it's a house or more money or a relationship, whatever that is.
So what other great wins have you had this week? It's going to be hard to match this one, perhaps, but what else have you had this week?
Yeah, I had some great coaching sessions that were, I consider all those wins.
That's good.
Yeah, I attracted a few new clients this past week. Those are all wins. I had safe transportation everywhere I went. Thank God I got there safely and got back home safely.
That's always very good.
Yeah, I had fun with some friends the other night. We went out, and it was just a really fun evening. So just a lot of good wins this week. What about you?
This is definitely the big one. I'm not sure I can really top this one, but let's see. I mean, probably beyond this, the other big win this week is that this is a weird win. We currently live in an apartment complex, and we're dreaming next spring of doing what Janet's doing, which is some home hunting, buying a home. And
nice.
That's, you know, one of our goals for next year. Well, in the meantime, we're still living in the apartment. And this is one of those apartment complexes where the landlord is a little bit on the cheap side, if you know what I mean.
Right. Right.
So, among other things, all of the apartments, they all have separate heat units, you know, heat pump, central air, central heat,
right.
that kind of thing. But
yeah.
he's
yeah.
always historically bought the cheapest units you can buy. And if you know anything about how those kinds of things work, when you buy the cheapo economy version, it can't push the air as well. It can't push the heat around as well. So it ends up being more expensive to run. And as a result, heat bills around here during the winter, of course, this is New England, you know, heat bills around here tend to get pretty high. Well,
I would think, yeah.
This past spring, ours died. And they had to replace it. And the maintenance guy lives two doors away from us. So I know him pretty well.
Yeah.
And we were very patient with them. They were bringing, you know, the HVAC guy in to try to repair it. And he was saying, no, it doesn't work. And we went through quite a bit waiting for them to fix this. And I was giving them no hassle at all. I was just trying to put out there, let's have something good come out of this. And what came out of it was he decided, he worked a deal with this HVAC guy because there were like a half dozen of us who had lost units around the same time. It was a fairly good sized complex. About a half dozen of us had lost units all at the same time. They'd all died. And he said, well, then I'm going to see if I can buy them in bulk and get a discount. And he talked to his HVAC guy, and sure enough, they were able to get a discount on a mid-range unit. A unit was actually pretty decent, you know? So that's not good to me, you know? Get a better one than what you normally get in the apartment complex. So they plugged the thing in, and after they were done plugging it in, the HVAC guy said, now you're going to see a change in your power bill. I said, oh? He says, yeah, you'll probably see about a 30% decrease in your power bill. I said,
nice.
Well, that's cool. Mm-hmm. I like that.
Yeah.
Well, we're now in a cold snap. And I think you're experiencing the same cold snap we are because you're in New Jersey.
Yes.
It's pretty darn cold out there. Yesterday morning was around 16. This morning was around 22, 23 at the coldest part. So it was pretty cold. You know, not, you know, deep January cold, but it was cold. Now, normally, when it gets that cold with the old unit that we had, we would tend to start seeing ice on the windows. The unit would run continuously, and the emergency heat would kick on a lot. The emergency heat where, you know, they have the electric heater that kicks in and adds to the heat pump. With this new heat pump that's in, the emergency heat hasn't come up at all, except when we've tried to increase the temperature deliberately. And there have been a number of times where the heat pump was actually turning off at 16 degrees. Because the house was holding temperature well enough, and it didn't have to keep running. And I'm thinking, I like this.
Nice.
That's
nice, yes.
Big improvement. Now, of course, if you have a normal house and you have a decent heat pump, you're used to that, you know. But when you're having to deal with the economy heat pump and you move like that, that's a nice change. So there's a win for you. It's kind of a weird one, but it's a win.
No, that's good.
Yeah.
That's good. Oh, I thought of another win,
what's
actually,
that
you'll appreciate.
Okay.
You know, I've been telling you, one of my dogs has been sick lately.
Yeah.
And they have health insurance, and all these years, the health insurance never pays for anything. Like, we submit, you know, throughout the years when stuff happens, and they never, and we're like, ugh, why do we even bother having this insurance? So lately, she's the dog, one of our dogs, she's had some pretty major vet bills, and we submitted them because we thought, well, we might as well, even though they haven't paid in the past, we're going to submit them anyway. And they paid us back for everything.
Oh, wow.
From this latest thing. And it was such a huge win. It was like such a relief. We're like, wow, that's amazing. Yay. They
yeah.
finally did something.
That's worth celebrating.
And when
sure.
it was like, yeah, and when it was so high, too, when the bills were so high. So it was great to have that. That reimbursement was like, wow, that's fantastic.
That's cool. We got at least two wins this week that are all about money. That's really good. I like that.
Yay, money wins are good. Yep.
Money wins are great. The important thing, of course, is remembering to notice them. That's what we were talking about with Janet.
Yes, and even, you know, even like, I don't even like when sometimes people say, oh, my big wins or my small wins. It's a win is a win when it comes to vibrations. So that's why I like to say even the, quote, small wins are still important to recognize.
Yeah, they are, because we can tend to forget them easier.
Yeah, like the good parking spots and safe transportation, and when someone gives you a compliment, like anything like that that someone might consider a small win is still just as important to recognize as a win to put you in that win vibration, so we'll attract more wins.
So we talked earlier about how it's so easy in today's society to get locked up, you know, focusing on all the negatives. If you don't take the time to find
yes.
the wins, you forget that they happened. And that's where you're
that's
actually
right.
losing the advantage of them, because they're giving you a big advantage, you know?
Yeah, and they really are always happening.
Yes.
They really are.
Which is actually appropriate, because we're on to chapter 13 of Abraham Hicks, and guess what the chapter is entitled? It's entitled...
What is it entitled?
Allow Your Feelings to Be Your Guide.
Oh, okay.
So there's even LOA going on with our caller and what happened after the caller compared to our ongoing conversation about Abraham Hicks. It's great.
That's right, yes.
So let's do a little reading here. Starts off by saying, another important premise that is valuable to remember is that you are a physical extension of source energy, and that an eternal stream of source energy flows to you and through you, and that it is you. This stream flowed before the physical being that you know as you was born, and it will continue to flow once the physical being that you know as you experiences what you call death. Every living thing, animal, human, or plant, experiences that which is called death, with no exception. Spirit, which is who we really are, is eternal. So what death must be is but a changing of the perspective of that eternal spirit. If you are standing in your physical body and consciously connected to that spirit, then you are eternal in nature, and you need never fear any endedness, because from that perspective there is none. You will never cease to be, for you are eternal consciousness. Your emotions let you know how much source energy you are summoning in this moment by virtue of the desire you hold in this moment. They also let you know whether your preponderance of thought on the subject matches your desire or matches the absence of your desire. For example, a feeling of passion or enthusiasm indicates that there is a very strong desire focused in the moment. A feeling of rage or revenge also indicates that there is a very strong desire. However, a feeling of lethargy or boredom indicates very little focused desire in the moment. Boy, does that tie into what we were talking about with Janet? I mean, because we were getting her to focus on the part that really made her feel great. There it is, black and white, right off the paper.
Yes.
I mean, the synchronicity here today is great. I love it.
Absolutely.
So when you really, really want something and you are thinking about your desire and feeling pleasure from the thought, your thought vibration is now in alignment with your desire, and the current from your source is flowing through you toward your intended desire with no restriction or resistance. And we call that allowing. Boy, is that the most important concept of all. That's why it's so important to be a Pollyanna. I love that. This is my new favorite word of the week, David. Pollyanna. I love Pollyanna now that I know what it is. I'm actually going to read the book.
I think there's even a movie.
There is.
Pollyanna.
I believe
I'm
there was
sure.
a Disney movie from like 1960 or something like that. Yeah.
I think so.
Yeah. And I never saw that movie either, which shows that my Disney portfolio is seriously lacking.
Well, you're creating your own Pollyanna movie in your own life.
That's right. So. That's right.
Yeah.
It's nice to know that here's another example of how somebody understood the concept without necessarily understanding how it all works in the background. But
yes,
the author knew well enough that you had to have a positive viewpoint at all times, looking at the silver linings instead of the gray clouds, if you want to have a happy and successful life. And
yes,
thank goodness, she actually wrote this thing. It's kind of a shame, really, that society has decided that Pollyanna is something that means unrealistic.
Yeah, yeah. I know, because sometimes people say, oh, you're so Pollyanna,
yeah,
or whatever.
Yeah. And that's what they mean.
And, now you'll be able to say, yes, I am.
Yeah, that's
right. Now you'll be able to say, yes, I am. You should try it sometime.
Yeah, you'd be a much happier person. Look at that frown on your face.
That's right. That's right.
Being a Pollyanna is a good,
because we don't have to know how something is going to happen or manifest for us.
Interesting thing. Part of my research, I looked up Pollyanna in Wikipedia, because, of course, that's the modern-day encyclopedia. And you always have to be a little bit careful with Wikipedia, because you never really know just how good all the research is going to be. Sometimes it's good, sometimes it's not so good. You actually have to check the references and so forth, which I do. But the Wikipedia article had one really interesting entry about Pollyanna. They had a lot. They obviously talked about the history of the book and so forth. But one of the best things that they said is that Pollyanna is it's basically a way to feel good without worrying that you're feeling good.
Yes, you
know,
yes.
That's not exactly the wording that they used, but that was the gist of what they were saying. And I thought to myself, that's really advanced for Wikipedia, you know?
Yes.
Seriously, because most of the stuff, I mean, I'm not exactly an aficionado of Wikipedia, but I've used it enough. And there is just as much negativity in there as there is anywhere else, because it's a mirror on society. So, you know, you kind it comes with the territory. So when you find something that actually gives truth, as you and I understand it, as LOA practitioners understand it, even if they aren't emphasizing it as LOA, I don't care. They put some truth in there, and that feels good to find it.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So we all need to be more Pollyanna.
Yeah, we need to be more Pollyanna, or as the next section is subtitled, we need to learn to pay attention to our feelings. It says, when emotions are strong, whether they feel good or feel bad, your desire is strong. When emotions are weak, your desire is not so strong. When emotions feel good, whether they are strong or weak, you are allowing the fulfillment of your desire. Really important to remember, guys. You're going to emphasize feeling bad. You're going to get some kind of actualization of that. You are going to allow the fulfillment of your desire because you're focusing on it.
Yes, yes. And another key is to realize that feeling good or feeling bad, it really is a choice. If you're feeling not great and you're feeling bad, it's as easy as shifting your thoughts to something more enjoyable than whatever it is you're focusing on.
And it's also an opportunity, because like Janet was saying, it can be very tricky at times. You know, you have the one thought, and then all of a sudden you start worrying about something related to that thought. And that's the opportunity there. It's the opportunity to say, you know what? I'm not going there today. I'm going somewhere else. I'm going to go to a happy place. So, yes, continuing from the chapter, your emotions are absolute indicators of your vibrational content. And therefore, they are the perfect reflection of your current point of attraction. They help you know in any moment whether or not you are currently allowing the fulfillment of your desire. And then all this is in italics. You may believe that you cannot control your emotions, or you may believe that you should control your emotions, but we would like you to approach your emotions in a different way. It is our encouragement that you pay attention to how you feel and allow your emotions to be the valuable indicators that they are. That's an important distinction, isn't it, David? Because we do want to try to control the emotions, but really we're not trying to control the emotions. We're trying to control what we're focusing on.
Yes, because what we're focusing on determines how we're feeling.
So we're controlling emotions indirectly rather than directly.
Kind of, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
And they say it very point blank there. You may believe that you should control your emotions, but we would like you to approach your emotions in a different way. In other words, they're saying, don't try to control your emotions.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Do it through your thoughts.
Do it through what you're focusing on.
Yes.
Change your focus.
It's as simple as, if you're feeling really good and happy, then you're at a good place, because you're feeling really good. If you're feeling not so good, then you know you need to refocus to help yourself.
Interesting you should say that, because the next section is entitled, An Empty Feeling is Telling You Something Important. When the fuel gauge on your vehicle indicates that the tank is empty, you do not criticize the indicator. Boy, is that a good point.
That's true.
You receive the information that it has offered you, and you do something about adding more fuel to your tank.
Yes.
Similarly, a negative feeling is an indicator that your current choice of thoughts has you offering a vibration that is so out of harmony with your source energy that you are currently disallowing your full connection to that energy stream. You could say your tank is approaching empty. Your emotions do not create, but they do indicate what you are currently attracting. If your emotions are helping you know that your choice of thoughts is not taking you in the direction that you desire to go, then do something about that. Replenish your connection by choosing better feeling thoughts.
Absolutely. Yes.
So there it is again. Yeah. It's not about controlling emotion. It's about changing focus.
And choosing. And it's always a choice. Choosing to focus on better feeling thoughts.
Yeah. I mean, it is easy to choose worse feeling thoughts, isn't it?
Yeah, because that's what most people are just used to doing. That's their go-to.
Yeah, it's the default.
Yes, now we need a new default to more of what you want focusing on than what you don't want.
And it may not be something that's a default right away, so you don't really want to worry about that either. You will eventually get to the point where it becomes a default if you keep doing it over and over again, right?
Oh, yeah, it takes a lot of practice, that's for sure.
Yeah, but it's
with the practice, you'll start feeling the difference.
Oh,
that's how you know, you know what, I feel a little better now. Since I refocused on what I was thinking about.
And I recall early on, I didn't notice a difference. It took me a while to even notice the difference. I had to do it pretty steadily for like a few weeks at a time before I even barely began to notice a difference.
But you slowly did, and that's how you knew you were going in the right direction.
Yeah, actually, you know what the first clue I got was? The first clue was my wife telling me, do you realize how different you are? And me
answering, yes, I love hearing that. Yes.
No, I didn't. What do you mean? Which is a way of saying I wasn't experiencing in my own head what she was seeing.
And so what did she say? Like, what did she notice that she could tell there was something, like some kind of improvement?
I don't remember the specifics of what she said, but the gist of it was that I was more positive, happier, not dwelling on negatives as much. You know, that's a big thing.
It is a big deal.
Yeah, yeah. And ever since then, I have gotten, I mean, you do it long enough, you actually do notice it after a while.
Oh, yeah.
You know, you notice it in a big way. But it's getting through that first period of time that's the hard part.
Yeah.
You know, because you don't feel it. If you don't see, we're so used to living in a society where we demand instant results. And if you don't see those instant results, man, that can be really rough to get through.
Yeah, yeah.
But you just have to kind of trust it's going to happen because it does happen. It does. You do get to the point where it starts feeling better. You just have to be sticking with it. If you don't stick with it, obviously you're not going to get anywhere. But you have to be making that attempt every single day. That's where written affirmations really help.
They do.
Because it's a way of, you read them every day, and now you're starting the habit. You're developing the habit of focusing for at least some portion of the day on positive stuff.
And somewhere within yourself, you know that it's helping. You know you feel a touch better. That's really what I think. Even if it's not this big aha moment at first, I really think that somewhere you kind of know, like, oh, refocusing on what I want. You know, that kind of felt a little better.
I don't know about you. Maybe that worked for you. For at the beginning, I didn't feel that at all. I got to say, honestly, I just didn't feel it, which is what makes it hard to keep going. But you do it anyway, even if you're not feeling it. Because you will eventually. You will definitely eventually feel it. Even if you're not feeling it for the first week or the first month, you will eventually feel it.
Well, because I think what happens is you get little tinges, little bits of that good feeling.
Yeah.
So you're like, oh, yeah, I want more of that.
I mean, if you think about it, if you think about it, not being in the vortex, in the positive vortex, not being connected to source is another way of saying not being connected to yourself. And when you're not connected to yourself, of course you're not going to notice stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
In fact,
little baby steps.
Oh, really baby steps. That actually, now that I think about it, that was probably the hardest concept for me while I was starting this thing, while I was trying to take those first few baby steps, because I had trouble grasping the idea that it was changing.
Yeah.
That the change was happening despite the fact that I couldn't feel it. I mean, when you think about it, when we don't feel it, what's really happening is we're not noticing something that's always been there. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yes. A lot of times when my coaching clients, they'll say, like, I'll teach them a process, and they'll say, well, how often should I practice this process? And I'm like, well, as often as possible, because you want to keep yourself focused on what you want. You want to keep yourself feeling better than you were as often as possible. And at first, they kind of don't get it, but then after a while, if they do practice it as often as possible, then they do have that, like, oh, okay, I get it now. Yeah, this is serving me so much better than how I used to think.
Yeah, I'd say how quickly do you want to actually get better?
Exactly. The more you practice, the better it's going to be for you.
That's right. So if you practice once a day for 5 minutes, then it's going to take a little while. You will get there, but it's just going to take a while. If you're willing to practice for an hour, it's going to take a little less time. If you're willing to practice all throughout the day, it's going to take a lot less time.
And then I assure them, because I know from my own experience, eventually you'll enjoy practicing, because it just, once you get that feeling connection, like you were saying, then you actually enjoy doing it because you like how it feels.
Right, right. In fact, that's what the next section of the chapter talks about. The next section is entitled, Follow Your Bliss is a Positive Thought, is it not?
Ooh, yes.
It says, as we've touched on previously, much has been written about the power of positive thought, and we are certainly proponents of that. No better guidance has ever been offered to our physical friends than the words, follow your bliss. For in the steady reaching for bliss, you must surely align with the energy of your source. And in that constant alignment, your well-being is certain. But when you find yourself engulfed in circumstances that cause you to offer a vibration that is far from that of bliss, then reaching for bliss is actually an impossible thing. For the law of attraction does not allow you to make that vibrational jump any more than you could have tuned your radio receiver to 101 FM and heard a song that was being played at 6:30 AM. It just doesn't work that way.
Yes.
So that's where what you talk about makes such an important difference, reaching for that better thought.
Yes, I think it was Wayne Dyer that made that popular, that follow your bliss statement popular.
I think actually follow your bliss comes originally from Joseph Campbell.
Oh, was it Joseph Campbell?
Yeah,
okay.
I think he's the one who originally came up with it. I think you're right, Wayne Dyer picked it up. But I believe it was Campbell who wrote it in. He had that one series of books that was like it was like a collection of 7 or 8 books or something like that. I think it's in that collection.
Yeah. So what does that mean to you when you hear those words, follow your bliss? What does that mean to you?
It means to me, and I don't always practice it as well as I would like to, but it means to me when I am noticing that there's something that really feels like, wow, I'd love to do that. That's the direction I want to follow.
Uh-huh.
And often I get that feeling in contrast to where I, quote, am supposed to go, unquote. Meaning that, you know, in terms of the way real world makes me think, you know, like I can't just quit my job and go, well, here's the example, David. I can't just quit what I'm doing to earn money and just go do LOA Today full time. That's one of the thoughts, right?
Yeah.
Well, obviously, I don't want to get stuck in, well, I can't do that. And
it's
probably not a great idea to just jump into doing LOA Today full time. Because it's likely that I'm not going to be so consistent about it and so attractive about it that the income source immediately fills right in. You know, so there's probably going to be some sort of like a transition period there. But that doesn't mean that I can't do LOA Today part time, which is what I do.
Of course, yes.
And my goal is to get it to the point where I do it more part-time.
Yes.
Which is one of the reasons we were looking at Blog Talk Radio as a way of doing taking phone calls. Because I figure, well, if we're taking phone calls and we get enough people calling in, maybe I can find ways of justifying doing a show more often.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, so every time you do this show, that's part of you following your bliss.
It is, very much
so.
Yeah, and I feel it every time. I mean, I felt that when we had Janet on. I'm aglow right now.
Yay. But that's I think following your bliss is that. It's doing more of what you love, more of what you like, of what you love.
What's your bliss?
Well, to me, following my bliss is, like I just said, it's spending more time doing things that you love. It's spending more time focusing on thoughts that make me feel really good, really high vibration, and, like, you know, deliberately doing that.
Right. So what is your bliss? Like, I'm looking for examples.
Well, some of the things that I would say are following my bliss, like you, is doing this radio show, the Law of Attraction Life Coaching. Mm-hmm. I would say every time I have a Law of Attraction coaching session, that's, I feel that feeling of like, you know, this is what I love to do. This is, I'm following my bliss.
That's
I love
be
songwriting.
Such a, I have to admit, I envy you doing your coaching. I thought about doing it. Haven't gone, you know, the whole hog of getting the certificate and all that. But you must have so much fun doing it. I know you're dealing with people's real world problems, and that's always a bit of a challenge. But if it feels anything like doing this program, it's got to feel good.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it actually feels even higher vibration.
Really?
It really does.
Okay.
Yeah, because it's more the one-on-one, and you're kind of there when a lot of people have wonderful aha moments, or wonderful wins and experiences they're sharing with you. Yeah, it's a great thing. It's a great thing.
Well, I have to tell you, one of my goals for this program is to continue that pattern, of course. And there are a number of ways that I've been exploring doing this. I actually, because I was taking a look at the Blog Talk Radio platform, I also wanted to look at, you know, what are some of the other shows that are on there. And I don't really want to comment on any of them because I didn't find anything good to comment on. That perhaps gives you an idea of what I ran into.
Okay.
But it also occurred to me there's a tremendous opportunity here, because the one thing that I noticed that our show has that other shows do not seem to have is excitement. Fun.
Mm-hmm.
We feel good. We're actually more into the entertainment side of talk radio than the other talk radio people seem to be.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? So
yeah, well, we're informative with the information, but we also have a good time. So we also laugh a lot and have fun, and it's a good mix. It's a good mix.
Mix, and I want to keep building it. I mean, a few weeks ago, you added the idea of talking about wins for the week, which is a great contribution. I've actually been building a list, a newsfeed type list, of articles from around the web that are oriented around positive subjects.
Right.
And I'm doing that to kind of, first of all, for my own reading, second, because I feed it to a Facebook page that I take care of. And third, perhaps first, is I want to start using some of those as topics when we're doing the show. It's not for the whole show, but, you know, find an article about, you know, some research that was done on positive psychology and then read about the article and, you know, talk about it for a few minutes on the show. So one more way to bring in the real world into what we're talking about.
Yes. And, you know, speaking of that, we don't have time this week, but we were also doing the question period. So if anyone does have a question they want us to answer, they can email me at david@lifecoachdavid.com, and we will answer your question on the air.
Yeah, that's good. I'm glad you mentioned that, because we've had a few of those in, you know, a few weeks in a row now, which was great. And it was even better, perhaps, to have the phone call, but we still love to have the email questions.
And then what is the, if someone does want to call in, what's the number that they can use to call in?
Oh, right. The call-in number is area code 516-387-1258, and of course we record this on East Coast time, so it's 11 a.m. East Coast time, or Eastern Standard Time, if you will.
So if someone wants to call that 11 a.m. Eastern, they just call that number, and then that will connect them to us.
On Sundays, right. For the moment, we're just doing weekly podcast recordings on Sundays. So Sundays at 11 a.m., good time to call us, because that's where we're going to be here. That's what the plan is anyway. It's going to be a challenge for
us,
David, because we have a tendency to record this whenever we want to. Well, we can't do that anymore.
I know. But you know, people call in. It's worth it.
It is. Oh, I mean, that call from Janet was wonderful. Thank you. Thank you, Janet. I just had so much fun talking with you, and I can hardly wait to find out what the result's going to be on that house.
I know.
Oh.
And I bet she's going to find fireplaces.
She's going to find fireplaces in the craziest places. Every bathroom's going to have a fireplace. Well, maybe not,
but
you know, it's going to be something like that. It's going to be some wild thing that, oh my goodness, you won't believe what I found.
That's right. Yeah, there may not be a fireplace in every room, but probably in a lot of them.
It'll be something that will just catch our attention and we'll say, wow, that's what you asked for.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
Well, as you say, we only have about a minute left. Remind people where they can find us. Obviously, we have our loyal listeners on PRN who are listening to this program, and we encourage you to continue to listen on PRN. We also encourage you to subscribe to the podcast directly. We have our own website, loatoday.net, and with your iPhone or your Android phone, you can subscribe directly on the website. You can also subscribe on the iPhone through the iTunes store, And on an Android phone, you can subscribe in Google Play because we're now in both of those locations. So,
excellent.
Yeah, we've got a lot of good places to catch people. And by the way, David, since you mentioned your coaching service, how do they reach you about, you know, in case they want to do some personal coaching?
Yeah, if anyone's interested in Law of Attraction coaching, just go to lifecoachdavid.com and you can find out more about me and you can find out how to contact me through there. And I always offer a first free mini phone coaching session for anyone who's interested in coaching.
Excellent. Well, I always say this every week, but it's particularly true this week. David, it's been a pleasure as usual.
Yes, it has. It's been wonderful.
We'll see you all next time here on LOA Today. Goodbye, everybody.